Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And always, I have to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. Even in the lesson we have on today, we see that even the opportunities that God gives us is a gift from God. And I'm thankful to God, and I thank each and every one of you who took time out of your busy schedule to come and fellowship with us in the Word. I just want to say glory, hallelujah, and Happy New Year's to each and every one of you. And I have to do a shout out to Africa, because on last week, island in Africa, evidently 44 people called on the line on that day, and it was amazing. So Africa and Canada and the other companies that they have given me geographical areas that calls are coming from, not just the ones that's on the line with us, but we appreciate each and every one of you for joining in with us. God bless you all, and I'm grateful for you when you go on the internet. To all our internet listeners, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And at this time, our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Matthew, and the lesson title is Jesus Deals Fairly with His People All the Time. All the time. You can count on it. We're coming from the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter, the 1st through the 16th verse, and as always, I'm going to play a song. Listen to the song, the message in the song. It fits perfectly with our lesson on tonight, with the scriptures that were already written and the exhortation that we're going to do on tonight with the Word of God relates to this song. So listen to the song, and we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace where mercy could be found, and then we'll expound on the Word of God together. Thank you. Is And that song was by Darryl Coley, saying that God is sovereign. You know, that's one of the major things I think all us Christians and everybody in the world, saved or unsaved, should realize, that God is sovereign. God is the creator of all things. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and the world and everything that dwells in belongs to God. God has all power in his hands. And that's what makes them sovereign, which means that he could do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And tonight I let you know that who are we to question the wisdom of God. At this time, we'll have our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, come and lead us to the throne of grace, and we'll come back and explore the word of God together. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody, and Happy New Year. Before I read the prayer list on tonight, I want to ask if there's anybody that knows someone that's in need of prayer or asking for prayer. And if it is, you can press the one button, and Minister Diane will open up your mic, and you can give me the name, and I can write it down and call it on the list. So if anybody know anybody or want to add anyone to the prayer list on tonight, you can press the one button at this time.
Sister Pam, I would like you to add Brother KJ.
Brother KJ.
And for the family, KJ. And for the families of all the people that has been murdered on our streets, and not just our streets, but all around the world, murders on an all-time high, and the families are suffering.
Okay, I got it. Anybody else? Okay, the prayer list for tonight is for January the 4th, 2023. Kathy Hartman, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Lacaz, Quan Charles, Kalia Edwards, Xavier Williams, Angel Taylor, Zena and family, Linda Howard, Robin Serenade, Sylvester Daniels, Barbara, Kirk Johnson, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Patience, Brother KJ, and all the families that's lost a family member to the streets. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for life. Thanking you, O God, for allowing us to see a new year in 2023. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for me. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night in January 2023 to give thanks and to lift up my brothers and sisters that's on our prayer list. Lord, move in a mighty way in their lives. Have your way, O Lord. Remove misery. Remove any doubts in their minds and their hearts. Fill it with your precious presence, with your glory, with your wisdom and your knowledge that only you can give. Lord, let them know that you and only you can turn their impossibles into possible. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hands, and he won't ever fail you. This is my prayer in the sweet holy name of Jesus the Christ. I pray. Amen, amen, and thank you, God.
Amen, and thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
As I was mentioning earlier, thank you. As I was mentioning earlier, we with the Block Talk radio station that we're on, in the studio, they give a breakdown of the geographic of where the calls, well, not the calls. They don't register the calls, but they register the people when they download on the internet. And it was surprising the other day I had 44 downloads. I believe it came from a place in Africa. It's called Seychelles. It's Seychelles. And I thank God for that. And we had a lot of callers from South Africa, Canada, and Kenya. And to all of the people on the internet, I have to give a shout out again. Thank you for joining us in prayer and in studying the word of God. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I pray that everything is well and that God bless each and every one of you real good. And to my callers that calls in every week, I tell you how I'm grateful that you're doing it. This is a brand new year, 2023, and Happy New Year's to everyone. This year will make it the 11th year that Words of Wisdom has been on Block Talk Radio. And it's because of you guys that we come every week, because without you, there will be no need to come. So I just say thank you, and it is my prayer that God continue to use me to have a format where people find something that is useful for them in their Christian walk, and it have them calling back week after week. So again, to each and every one of you, thank you. Happy New Year's. And the song that was sung today, if I had to tell you anything about the new year, I believe if we enter the new year fully understanding the sovereignty of God, I believe it'll allow us to end with the beginning in mind, letting God have his way. God has a master plan. God's will's going to be done. God loves us. God loves his children. God will save us. And God's son blood has covered us. And God. I think if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness should be what we do in the new year, and not this new year, but every year, every day of our lives, which will create much success for us. So with that being said, again, Happy New Year's, and God be with each and every one of us. And it is our prayer that our end of this year would be better than the beginning. In Jesus' name. And I'm going to say the title of the lesson again, because some other more people have called. But the title of the lesson is Jesus Deal Fairly with His People at All Times. It's coming from the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16. And tonight's introduction is tonight's background, because what I did, I went to the chapter before the one that we are dealing with to see why what we're dealing with tonight was written. And so tonight our intro is the background from the previous chapter. Our lesson tonight is a parable. And it's a parable where Jesus answered a question asked to him by Peter, like I say in the previous chapter. So what I went and did, and I'm going to give you those scriptures, and you can see, and it's going to build up to when we get to our tonight's lesson. You see, in Matthew 19 and 27, then Peter said unto him, talking about Jesus, the writing isn't going to be in red. He said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. He said, what shall we have therefore? Peter was telling Jesus, because what had happened, they had a rich young man that went to Jesus and asked him, how could he be saved? And Jesus told him to take everything that he had and sell it and come and follow him. Well, a little young man wasn't willing to do it. And so Peter then asked, because they believed, him and the disciples believed they had done what Jesus was asking the young man to do, and they saw the young man hadn't did it, and they believed that they did it, so now they want to know what is there for us. Peter said, we gave up everything for you. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And verse 29, and every one that has forsaken his house, his brother and his sister, his father, mother, a wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit it everlasting life. See, God judged fairly with his people, and Jesus is showing his fairness. Yes, they did give everything and followed him. But he's saying everyone that follows him is going to receive everlasting life as well. And then the last verse in that 19th chapter said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You see, Peter asked Jesus the question, and Jesus answered him. But Jesus didn't know if they really, 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 really understood what he had said. And many times in the Word of God, when a parable is used because a question was asked or because a situation had arrived, and Jesus used parables because most of the time they're plain and simple. And most of the time, you know, Jesus used parables to make the information simple to be understood. And in a parable, he tell a story. You know, they say a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But he tells a story using things that they are familiar with to understand the truth and the message. So tonight we're going to go in this parable. You see, even when Jesus was telling them, it's like we must realize that God showed no partiality. Many of Peter's followers and his fellow Jews thought that God loved them more than the Gentiles. And for those tonight, we know a Jew is a Jew and a Gentile is a Gentile, and there's only Jews and Gentiles, and we are Gentiles because we're not Jews. But they thought it was only for them because God had chosen them as his promised people. And they thought they had a lockdown on what God had. But you see, it was God's will that all sorts of men be saved, and he will not show partiality. And even though the Jews were first, and the Gentiles may be considered last, but the last could be first, and the first could be last. That's what they're speaking about in this. But Peter came to understand. That's how Peter thought then. But by walking with Jesus Christ, and he learned and he grew in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Peter understood better that God did not show favoritism. That's why it's important that 2 Timothy 2:15 say that we must study the word for ourselves as workmen, not being ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And we have to grow. Christian growth is very important. You see, God wants people of all nations to repent and be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. But there is no respect of person with God. And we're going to go into this scripture. If you have your Bibles, turn it to Matthew's, the 20th chapter. We're going to start at the first verse. And the scripture reads as follows. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. You see, like many of Jesus' parables, this story is about an employer. He talked about the employer, what they would do and how they do it and what they expect and the masters and the servants and these type of things. And he's talking about an employer again and those who work for him. When you look at a parable, you have to understand the metaphor or the analogy being used. So when we look at this, we see that the householder and the master of the vineyard is a metaphor and analogy of Jesus Christ. And the labor are the Christians. You see, Jesus used the parable to further answer the question Peter had asked him. You got to realize in the first century, Israel planting, maintaining, and harvesting vineyards was strenuous work. It was hard work. And it required physical labor. And it was usually done in the heat of the summer. Often additional labors were required to get all the work done. They had to work on a time frame. They didn't want the rain to catch them. You see, the owner of the vineyard went to the marketplace at the first hour of the morning, 6 a.m., to find workers for the day. He offered wage of one denarius, a Roman soldier paid for that day. And it was very generous indeed. One penny, y'all. The workers of the first group was more than happy for the generous wages. He went out and he got the first group. And we'll see what happened after that. In verse 3, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. When I read this, it reminded me, you know, like if you go to Home Depot or you go to Lowe's, you know, when you pull into the parking lot, there's a lot of workers out there that's out there and hoping someone would hire them for a job, for a day work or maybe more days. But you could go there and you could hire somebody and get them to do something specifically that you have to be done. So he would go to the marketplace and he saw them standing idle. Verse 4, he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5, he went in the first, got the first group 6 in the morning, and then by the third hour he went and got another group. And in verse 5, he went about the 6th and the 9th hour and did likewise. So he went out 4 different times in that day, and he hired people each time. Verse 6. And about the 12th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why stand ye all the day idle? Verse 7. And they said unto him, because no man had hired us. Now, you know the man went to the place all them times, and they must have evidently got there late. He went at 6. They didn't say he went to another marketplace. He went to the same place. At 6, they had some there And then when he went back at the third hour, some more was there. And the sixth and the ninth hour, some more had came. And now he's at the 11th hour, and some are there. They say no one would hide him. But what time did they get there? He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall ye receive. You see, as the day progressed and more workers were hired, a specific wage we see in the scripture was not mentioned, but the landlord promised to pay whatever is right. But apparently, the workers were sufficiently confident of the landlord's character that they trusted him at his word. Altogether, four groups of workers were hired, and the last group just 1 hour before they end. We gotta see where we're going with this. So now, in verse 8, so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto Stuart, that was his foreman, hallelujah. He said, call the laborers and give them their hire. He said, it's time to pay them off. The day has ended. But look what he told them to do in the scripture. He said, beginning from the last to the first. He wanted the last to come that only did an hour first, and then those that did more hours than the last, and then, you know, that was the order he put it in. Hallelujah. He said, begin from the last until the first. Number 9. And when they came that were hired at the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they will receive more, and they likewise received every man a penny. They paid the same amount of money. Some people will say, well, and that's not fair. Verse 11. And when they had received it, they mumbled against the goodman of the house, saying, these lads have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal with us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. Because you see, the late in the day, God, there was shade. The ones that went out in the morning caught all of the morning and the afternoon sun. They saying, we caught the burden of the heat of the day. Verse 13. But the man answered one of them and said, I do thee no wrong. Didn't thou not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. He said, take your pay and go. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. And verse 15, is it not lawful? This is the man telling them. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? He said, is thy eye evil? Because I'm good. You see, the first group of workers in the vineyard represent resentment, receiving the same pay as the last group. Their attitude was submit, you know, was like the attitude of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Republicans. Come on, y'all. You know, they were displeased with Jesus for teaching that others would inherit the heavenly kingdom. They thought it was reserved for them alone. They despised Jesus for offering the kingdom to the poor, the oppressed, the weak, whom he made equal with them. God is no respecter of persons. And just as the householder said, what belongs to me, The scripture says in Psalm 24 that the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and everything that's in it. It belongs to God. And God has the right to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants, because he's God. That's the lesson in a nutshell. And told him, and I don't have the right to do what I want to do. You know, people in today's world, even in families, on jobs, our friends, and different things like that, they always try to decide who should get what and who should have what and who should have more, because they come up in their minds why that person should get more. But it's not predicated on what man thinks. You see, what God does is all by his grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And God distributes the way he wants to. He has that right. Just like each and every one of us have a right to distribute what we have the way we want it. But many times, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees angered against Jesus Christ, because he was offering something that he had given them freely to someone else that they don't think deserve it. I've heard many times in my life that people say, well, I do this and I do this, and God should do more for me. Or they might say, I don't understand why I'm having problems, because I accepted Jesus Christ and I'm a child of God. I've often heard people tell me, Sister Diane, I pay my tithes. Why? You know, I don't have more money. God is not a trick. God has no respect of a person. And God distributes as he pleases. But just like the title of our lesson tonight, Jesus deals fairly with his people all the time. The representation of the householder, which is Jesus Christ, like the man said, it was by grace he gave them all the same thing. And they could even rejoice, like, man, I'm glad you got the same pay. People ain't going to do that. They want the more. They deserve the more. And many times people have a spirit of entitlement. He did feel he was entitled to more because of the number of hours he worked. But he agreed to work the penny. He was paid the penny. So there was nothing wrong done, no unfair treatment. But what he come up and conjured in their own mind. But it's not predicated on them. You see, the first group of workers in the vineyard resented receiving the same thing as the last. Their attitude, as I say, was like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But you see, we have to really understand that God can do he wants, who he wants. You see, the rest of the workers received their wage without complaining. I guess so, huh? That's why when he said in the scripture, the evil eye, it's a Hebrew expression referring to jealousy and envy. They call that an evil eye. You see, the workers received their wage without complaining or envy of us. I guess some people say, well, I guess so. You see, in the same way as Christians, we should rejoice when others come to the Savior, as we should rejoice in the service that others render to God. There's a lot of haters, y'all, even in the body of Christ. And as many times when the scripture said, the first to be last, the last to be first, they have people that believe because they start going to church at 7 and never stop. Somebody come to church real later on in life that they have more of a, I don't know, more of a privilege. They might know more. Come on, y'all. Might really know more because of their longevity. But it don't necessarily give you more. And people always sometimes look down on a babe in Christ. Like you had to grow, you gotta give them time to grow. And I'm gonna give you a flash bulletin right now. All of us is going to the same heaven. You was first or last. So don't get it twisted. You have to learn to rejoice. And they have sometimes, and I hear it a lot in the church, the same people always doing everything. But I have learned over the years, the reason the same ones is doing it is because they're the ones that's willing to do it. People will say that and they'll look at it and they'll comment on it. But if they're asked to do anything, it's like a black turtle. You see, he is faithful to reward us for our service, as he promised. And how he rewards others should be of no consequences to us, nor should it affect our devotion in God. Because you see, if you keep worrying about who got what, and you don't think they deserve what they got, because you might even know they're not living like, first of all, people are figure they're not living like they living. And they always want to use themselves as a ball, because that's why Paul said after writing 13 books of the Bible, he has not achieved. But there are people that believe they have arrived, that they know it. They know it better than everybody. But we are all learning. We are learning day by day. And they believe they should have more. Are they deserve more? Are they entitled to more? Verse 16. So the last could be first, and the first could be last. You know, no matter how long or how hard a believer worked during his lifetime, the reward of eternal life will be the same given to all. So understand that. An eternal bliss in heaven and the presence of God and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. The first ones that came, the second ones that came, the middle and the last. You see, I'm going to give you a good example of this. If we go to the book of Luke and we see that when Jesus was being crucified and he had a thief on the left and one on the right, and one of them realized that Jesus was the Son of God, and that man asked Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, remember me, what Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. There might be some people who believe, you know, that wasn't fair because, you know, I don't know if it was 1 hour or 2 hours that he had accepted Christ and then he would die, that he didn't have a right to go straight to paradise. But God does what he wants. He's fair. If he died, he accept Christ, got salvation, and died, you know, in 2 hours, and he's with God. And when you die, you're going to be with God. No respect to person, no big eyes, and no little you. Everybody who believes on the Son of Jesus Christ will be saved. And you know, the Bible tells us it's by grace and not by works. So if you do a lot of work, you're doing it because it's a gift from God, and just keep doing it. And the scriptures say never get weary in doing good. And keep on doing what you do, because you're not saved by your works, and works does not precede salvation. Am I saying the right word? Precede is before. What I'm trying to say is does not happen before salvation. It comes after salvation. So you didn't work to get saved, but because you are saved, you should want to work. And you see that man on the cross, hallelujah, whose life of service was limited to a moment of repentance and confession and faith of Christ, received the same reward of eternal life as Apostle Paul, the writer of 13 epistles in the New Testament. Now, I just want to say this. Scripture does teach us that there are different rewards in heaven for different services. So separate your service from your eternity, and there will be rewards and crowns in heaven for what you did. That will be predicated on what you did for what what rewards God sees fit to give you for those services. But the ultimate reward is always and should always be in focus is eternal life will be achieved equally by everyone. Jesus used this parable to show the ones that came last and did a little still got the same as the ones that did more and did it longer. You see, this is the essence of God's grace when he rewards and blesses man according to his will. God's will, y'all, not the will of man. According to his will and pleasure. You know, I could go to Philippians 2 and 13. Listen closely. But it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasures. It's saying that it is God that gives you the desire to want to do. And then when he gives you the desire to do it and you decide you're going to do it, hallelujah, then he gives you the ability to do it. None of this is predicated on us. You know, when we look at the system of the law, it was easy to figure out. You got what you deserved. There wasn't no guessing in the game. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, stone them, blah, blah, blah. That was the law. But God deals with the system of grace, which sometimes seems even foreign to us because we can't see maybe some achievements that others have that you feel didn't do as good as you. Are y'all? God deals with us according to who he is, not according to who we are. You got to realize it's important to see that the landlord, the landowner, which is Jesus Christ, did not treat everyone the same, but he did not treat anyone unfairly. Though he was more generous to some than to others. We can be assured that God will never, ever be unfair to us. But he may, for his own purpose and pleasure, bestow greater blessings on someone else who seems less deserving. Who can question the wisdom of God? I ask you tonight. The point isn't that all have the same reward. Oh, all God's people go to the same heaven where they will be rewarded in different measures. So you separate the two. Your rewards that you do is going to come to you That's why I say it, only what you do for Christ will last. The Bible teaches us about the five crowns, and it talks about the reward. Your reward is the only thing you're going to take with you, because everything else is going to be destroyed. You cannot take your house when you die to the graveyard. You cannot take your money out the bank on your way to your grave. But the things that you did for Christ, the service, accepting the Son, and helping one another, giving to the poor, loving the right way, God is going to honor that. And it's going to go with you in eternity. The point that he made, I can do whatever I want with what I own, and God owns it all. And even as the landlord told the landholder, told the men who he hired, I have the right to do what I want with what I want. You see, the point is that God was on the principle of grace. And y'all know grace is giving us everything we don't deserve. So any reward you get, you don't deserve it in the first place, because it's grace. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. And we should, therefore, expect surprises. And one surprise would be, like we always say, they're going to have some people on a way to heaven with believers that you didn't even believe they believed. And then they're going to be some that you thought had it all together. And he won't. And God's going to tell him, he spit them out of their mouth, I don't know you. So you should expect surprises. God will never be less than fair. But he reserved the right to be more than fair as pleases him. God's grace always operates righteously, y'all. The grace of God's blessing is completely apart from the principle of deserving. I'll read that again. The grace of God's blessing us is completely apart from the principle of deserving. Who are we? That song we heard earlier about God's sovereignty. The songwriter say, who are we? And he came back and he say, we are nothing. The Bible say we are like filthy rags. We all sinners and fall short. Come on, y'all. God's grace blesses us completely apart from the principle of deserving. Because if we can only get for what we deserve, I believe none of us have anything. The Bible tells us that we are vessels made of clay. We are brittle, fallible, and easily broken. But it's not so much the vessel, but it's what's inside of the vessel. God allows the Spirit to live inside of us, and Jesus is reigning over us. And he does as he pleases. See, when we complain and say, don't I deserve better than this? That's what I'm saying. I hear God, why I don't have more? I went to church every Sunday. And that man ain't never went to church but every Easter and Christmas. Don't I deserve more? And God will make a reply. Now, come on now. This is what he is telling. Come on now. Does this mean that you really want me to give you what you deserve? Think about it. You see, grace should be especially manifested in our service. It is of grace and not works. Our work is our work, but we do it in grace. You see, all of our service already is due God. It belongs to him. The ability to serve God. This is what we got to get, and I'm going to close with this. I want you to know that the ability to serve God is a gift of his grace. The call to serve God is the gift of his grace. And I love this one because I talk about opportunity all the time. Every opportunity to serve is a gift of his grace. Being in the right state of mind to do the Lord's work, y'all, is a gift of his grace. When we have successful service to God, it's a gift of his grace. It is all God and not ourselves. We should be thinking about who was first and who was last and who got this and who got that. Stay in your own lane. Stay in your lane. People be proud to say what God got for me is for me. And that is also true. But the service that God has for you to do is for you to do as well. It's all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus. Who we are, what we have. Grace. Through Christ Jesus. And that's the lesson for tonight. Anybody would like to add any comments, any corrections? You can press the one button on your phone. And I'll open the mic. Well, if there's nothing else to be said, we can have our benediction. Caller, your number 504-900. Your mic is open.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just love to say I love this lesson. I love this parable. And it is one of the good parables that teaches us about God and his fairness, like he titled it. In verse 8, I would like to comment on, I think it was verse 8. Let me make sure. Okay, yeah, it was verse 8. Verse 8 said, so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last until the first. Had they been given their wages, they'd have gone about their business, and they wouldn't even knew that they was getting paid the same thing. But that would defeat the purpose of the parable. Because the last got paid first, the people that came first was able to see what they received. But God wants us to know that if I come to him when I'm 6 or when I come to him when I'm 99, the best thing is that I came to him. And he wants us to know that no matter what age we accept him, that we're going to all receive the same reward. But the goal in life is to accept him as our personal Savior and Lord. And proof of that is when the crook died on the cross, today you will be with me forever in paradise. That gave us proof that he was just saved on that cross. And he has the same opportunity as the one that came first. I enjoyed the lesson. May God continue to bless you, to continue this line, to keep feeding us his word. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. And many times I get ready to try to do a lesson. Sometime a title comes to me, and then I have to back it with scriptures. Sometime a scripture comes, and I have to create a title. And many times you just don't know where to go. You know, you did so many, and you don't, you know, trying to repeat. But the Holy Spirit told me every jot and tittle, word, chapter, verse, and book in the Bible is relevant. Now, mankind and, well, you know, people have it so where sometimes people want to get something that's so good. They want to make the people shout. They want to make the people give them accolades. And, you know, they got to get this hit wonder. The word of God, all of it, is relevant and necessary for the body of Christ. So some would think that this is a simple, scriptures, but it has so much meaning. It really has so much meaning. And I thank God for his word, and I thank the Holy Spirit for his guidance. And I thank each and every one of you again who come and keep sharing in the word of God with us as we explore the word. The word of God is true. The word of God is blessed, you know. And then when you get to do the word and you present it the way you want it, then I give an opportunity. And like the lesson, I made sure I put in a lesson tonight at the opportunity to be able to share or to ask a question or add to it is a gift that God has given us. And, you know, once the lesson is on, if something you could expound on or you want to add to it, you can, because that's the way God gave us what we have. And I thank him for that. Thank you for coming, Sister Minister Cloud. Anyone else have anything they would like to say, add, or subtract? And if not, Sister Pam, it's on you.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much, Pam, for your service. Because it is an opportunity and it is a gift from God given to you. It's an opportunity. And God gives the opportunity for everybody to be in some type of service. But when they say many are called but few are chosen, the call and the opportunity comes to everybody. But everybody doesn't answer the call. Because God may be saying, go east, and you went west. And many times, and we got to be careful that we have blocked out the voice and the direction of God that he gives to us. God is not just speaking to Mary Jo of Paula Black. God speaks to all of his children, the body of Christ. All of us are necessary. That's why when somebody's doing service and you know you don't do service, you shouldn't be envious of feel ill about that person, because what they're doing is benefiting the body. If you got a giver in your midst, they may have the opportunity to have to give to you. Thank God for them and their service. Don't play on it. We are one body with many members. Everybody is necessary. And by this being a vineyard, and he had to go get laborers, it brings to my mind the harvest is plentiful. The labor is a few. And that's our program tonight. And again, I thank God, because I can't thank him enough for the opportunity and the gift of service he gave me and the gift of the opportunity to be used and the gift of the Shunda. I thank him and I thank you guys. That's it for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on Wednesday night. And I pray and ask that each and every one of you pray that God gives us a word for Wednesday night from on high that can be something that all of us can use to be strengthened in the things of God and the kingdom building here on earth. So until next week, good night. Be blessed.
Good night.